Health and safety. Health and safety. Ladies and gentlemen, the term ladies and gentlemen is offensive. We will now call you things. Health and safety.
Hello and welcome to Canary Pod, the podcast from the team that brings you the Canary. I'm Nancy Mendoza, Director of Communications and Membership, and I'm here with John Ronson. John's had the opportunity today to speak to Keith Allen about a new project looking to bring satire back into the mainstream in a way that it hasn't been for a very long time. But first of all, before we hear that, I wanted to just talk to John about, you know, satire in general.
So the UK has got a long tradition of satire. If you want to really go back, you could go back to the cartoonists of the 18th, 19th century. But in more recent times, we tend to think of TV programmes like That Was the Week That Was. And the precursor, really, of things like that was a venture called the Establishment Club, which was actually a club. It was a club in Soho. That was set up by Peter Cook and some of his friends, and it became the home of British satire. It was called the Establishment Club to reflect the fact that it was digging at the establishment. But ironically, it was rather popular with politicians at the time, who quite liked to go along and probably see whether or not they were going to be part of the routine. And from that came things like The Frost Report, That Was the Week That Was, Private Eye as well.
John, you had the opportunity to speak to Keith Allen, who, as I understand it, is actually reviving the Establishment Club. So, you know, over 50 years later, what's that about?
Well, basically, Peter Cook died, sadly, a number of years ago, but his widow had mentioned that in the last year of his life, in fact, he had been talking about possibly restarting the Establishment Club. And that led to some discussions between her and satirist Victor Lewis Smith, which then led to discussions with Keith Allen and Mike O'Brien from Laughingstock Productions, and about setting up the Establishment Club again. And so they've come up with a new format, and that was what we were talking to Keith about today.
And that's going to be shown on Russia Today.
Yes.
Yeah. Not the usual home of, the kind of famously cutting British satire of the 60s, 70s and 80s, which would have been the BBC or Channel 4. So it's quite surprising.
It is a big difference. If we go back a bit, you had things like Spitting Image on ITV. As we've previously mentioned, That Was the Week That Was on the BBC. We're getting vast, vast audiences. Obviously, the audience for RT is going to be much, much smaller. But Keith made the point that RT was the home of Jonathan Pye, and that he felt it was possibly the best place for this new venture.
So all that really remains is to hear your interview with Keith Allen. So let's play that now.
Welcome to this edition of Canary Pod. This is John Ranson from The Canary and Off the Perch, which is our satirical sidekick. And today we're talking with Keith Allen.
Hi, how you doing?
Who is relaunching the Establishment Club. Can you tell us about the Establishment Club? Perhaps a bit of background for our listeners, what it was and what it now is.
I think the Establishment Club was born out of a very tricky time for writers, performers, artists, which was, you know, coming out of the 50s, the early 60s, I think the prevalent mood of the day was one of censorship. Peter Cook and his associates decided that they had to find some kind of format to kick back. There wasn't television as we know it today to do it. So he came up with the idea of the Establishment Club, and the idea was to encourage people to confront censorship in all its forms and to feel free to be able to express themselves. That's not to say that they're weren't television programs that started to scratch that surface. There was The Frost Report, That Was the Week That Was, which managed to combine elements of satire with, you know, fairly cutting interviews with political figures of the day. And we would like to kind of rebirth that spirit, you know, of kicking back. And that's the idea of the Establishment Club in its present form.
Do you think that now is a particularly good time to be doing it?
Personally, I think all times are a particularly good time to be doing it. Not just now. I think it's harder now because the kind of general emulsification of culture makes it very difficult to spot your enemies. You know, it's kind of a bland wall that you're looking at that so many people, especially people in comedy, contribute to the creation of. So it's very difficult to find the areas to kick at. But there is no time like the present. You know, you have to do it.
Yeah, totally. There are probably some people who think that in some ways the new establishment now is comedy. You know, things like Comic Relief, they seem to be very much part of the mainstream. Is comedy the best vehicle, do you think, for kicking against the powers that be?
Well, I think you have to see it in terms of satire. You know, satire is the use of comedy, irony, exaggeration, ridicule, to expose vices and stupidities. So it's not just about comedy. I think what's happened with comedy is that it has become spectacular. I happen to believe, quite sincerely, that laughter is spiritually uplifting. I think it's very important. I think it's a valve that needs to be opened. And it's good for your soul. Most laughter that I hear does none of those things. It just seems to be some awful cacophony that feeds into this, you know, constantly running, self-perpetuating machine, which is a relationship between comedy and its audience. The audience are lazy. I think collectively they're mostly stupid. I think they feed comics who are collectively stupid. And it's lazy. And of course, its existence is fed by money. You know, major corporations own comedy. But it's not to say that there aren't pockets out there where you can see some brilliant stuff. There's amazing stuff on Twitter. You know, there's the occasional TV program that scratches at the surface. But I would like to, you know, find a form to put that together. It's not to say it's the answer. It's going to be the program. It isn't. But it would just be good to, I think, collect ideas, collect people, and give them a platform. And that's what this will do. It's not pretending to be anything else, you know. And I'm not particularly worried, but I don't care about comedy. I genuinely, this is going to sound like a soundbite, and I guess it is, but I think laughter is far too important for comedy. I don't care whether it's, you know, a poet, a ranter, interpretive dance even. I don't care. So, but I just think that I happen to know, you know, I do listen to them. I put on my own shows in tents at festivals, so I have a relationship with audiences. And I happen to know that people are bored. They're bored rigid by this never-ending cycle.
You've already said ridicule and exaggeration, things like that, are important elements of satire. Do you think satire is a branch of comedy, or is it something that exists outside of comedy?
No, I think satire can be reflected in comedy. You know, what is this obsession with comedy? I fucking hate comedy. I hate it. Which is kind of ironic, because I used to be a comic. Okay. yeah, and also I'm now building a club where I'm going to have to start employing some comics. Oh, which will be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but I put on the kind of shows that I put on, I actually celebrate the intelligence of an audience, and it's actually very gratifying to be able to put on a mime act, to be able to interview George Galloway. You know, I did that last year in the context of a show, then put on a comedian, then put on a musician. They're brilliant, it's wonderful. You know, it's multi-layered, it's got texture. It's not six comics, you know, telling me, or asking me where I'm from. Fuck off.
So the Establishment Club is going on the road. Could you tell us a bit about that, please?
I believe the bus is going on the road. It's visiting, you know, some major metropoli.
And then, if I'm right in thinking, when you've been round to those places, you will have seen a number of acts, and you'll then be bringing the acts together?
No, I think what this is like a poultice. It extracts poison, you know. It will do that. But we live in a world of social media, so there's every chance that people will contact. You know, I think some of the, not that I'm on it, but I've been told by people whose judgment I trust, that Twitter is an incredibly rich, verdant landscape for very, very good wit and writing. We'd like, love to encourage people, you know, who only exist on Twitter to maybe entertain the idea of formalising it a bit. We'll see, I don't know.
No, there's been an explosion of things like spoof accounts, for example, of public figures.
I don't know what you're talking about, but...
On Twitter, which, you know, for many people, that's probably their first contact with satire.
Which is great. I mean,
and, or, you know, shares of articles from the various satirical websites.
Sure.
That have grown up over the
none of which I know anything about, I hasten to add, but I'm more than prepared to find out.
And sometimes, certainly some of those sites... have possibly a danger of straying into the territory where what they're doing isn't so much satire as simply making stuff up. Do you think
what's wrong with lies? Nothing wrong with lies if they serve a purpose. I don't know, you know, nobody said that satire should be truthful.
Do you think that we should be looking in those kind of nooks and crannies online?
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, I would like to think that the existence of this bus and the establishment club would encourage people to come forward, you know. Definitely.
I mean, if we go back, you know, 20 plus years, Spitting Image was on TV and it was reaching 15 million people at one point.
Absolutely.
Probably that age is gone because TV viewing is
so fractured,
totally
now.
Atomized. Yeah. Would you be most happy if the Establishment Club ended up on the BBC or the or ITV, or would
no,
you think that was a bad
thing? I would run a marathon if that happened. I like the fact it's on Russia Today because it's quite controversial. The idea that, you know, we are being entertained on a channel that, you know, comes from a country where its relationship with gay people is horrendous. And it'd be interesting to see how it deals with my position on LGBTQ, you know. Be interesting. But then it seems to me that there are so many corporate fingers in so many pies, you never quite know who's pulling your strings anyway. So.
No, that's so true. Will you have any red lines, do you think, with the Establishment Club? Anywhere that you won't go? Any topics
red
you
lines.
Won't tackle?
Red lions? What are they?
Red lines.
Oh, red lines.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't entertain Geordie comics. I think they're shit.
Do you think there's a danger of satire slipping into abuse at all?
No, I'd love it to slip into abuse.
You
I
think,
love it.
You think that might be a good
absolutely.
Thing?
Brilliant. Yeah. Fuck the cunts.
One thing question that people have asked is, how on earth can you satirise the current government when Boris Johnson is Foreign Secretary?
That's a good point, because he's virtually self-parodic. And interestingly enough, it kind of broaches that very grey area where everything is revealed, even your lies are revealed in front of you, and the question that you're asking people while you're lying to them is, what are you going to do about it? I think that's the big question about the existence of people like Boris Johnson and Michael Gove and, you know, Hunt, all those people. They're just liars. Yeah. And they don't care that they're liars. They don't care. And I guess we ought to assume a position where we don't care either, that they're lying. We'll find something else. We'd be wonderful to say that we can exist without you. Which might sound a bit airy-fairy, but it would be good to ignore them. You know, whereas a lot of people, I think they think that by, you know, talking about people like Boris Johnson, it's of some importance. It's not. What you should be talking about is maybe somebody on Kensington and Chelsea Borough Council. Who's that faceless person who passed all those regulations to say that you're allowed to, that's the person you want to fucking get, not Boris Johnson. He's irrelevant. Let's go after the real sinners. He said.
We dare you.
Oh, I can do that. I've got a daughter who's doing it pretty well.
So. Yeah, well, this is true. So how do you think the current landscape, particularly in regards to independent media, does that have any parallels with the dawn of the Establishment Club, or what opportunities do you think it might provide?
You know, I had a pirate radio station in the late 70s. My problem was always content. That is the problem with any media, content. And then you have to take into consideration boredom. You can't bore people. It's very tricky. You know, this is why lots of broadcast institutions just constantly fill their agenda with stuff that is repeatable and sellable around the world and is very cyclical and therefore fairly boring. But I'll tell you something about the 60s and the 70s, actually, and possibly the beginning of the 80s, was you knew who your enemies were. They were clearly defined. And there was a lot of work to be done. There was a lot of work to be done with institutionalized and entrenched racism, homophobia, you know, and politics, extraordinary right-wing politics. I mean, people don't realize that the National Health Service, and well, the welfare state, which was set up in 1945, within 34 years, 34, that's all, you think that the welfare state and the NHS are great institutions that go back centuries. They don't. Within 34 years of them being set up, they were beginning to be dismantled by the Tory government in 1979. That's 34 years. People don't realise that that's how quick it was, you know, for the powers that be to be threatened by such institutions. Well, like I say, the enemies were obvious. Now they're not obvious. It's really tricky now. It's really hard to find a focal point. We had Rock Against Racism, you know, we had troops out of Ireland. We had demonstrations to go on. We had it reflected in music, punk. You had the comic strip. You know, there was something to kick against. Now, what have we got? A fucking bus in the middle of Bristol. Jesus Christ, it's a start though. I think it was Mao Zedong who said a 1,000-mile journey begins with one small footstep. This is the small footstep.
Yeah, it's a lot quicker by bus.
Not this fucker, it's not. Okay, this is a shout out to everybody who might be in Brighton on the 15th of August, or might be in Edinburgh on the 23rd of August, God forbid, who might be in Manchester on the 30th of August, and could be in Newcastle on the 6th of September. To all those people, the bus will be there on those dates. If you've got something to say and you want it to be heard, then come. That's what we're here for.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Keith.
That's a pleasure.
I hope it goes really well for you.
Good luck.
Well, so, you know, there's certainly some interesting stuff in there. It's an extraordinary project with this bus going around the country. There's also some controversial things that Keith said there. He seems to be very keen for this to be, you know, completely no holds barred, you know, totally uncensored, lie if it's funny, abuse people if it's funny. You know, you had a chance to actually go to the bus and hear some of the performances. What was that like? What did you discover there?
So the new element of what the Establishment Club this time around is doing, which separates it from things like online satire sites, is the fact that it's public performances. It's performers doing their material in front of an audience. A live performance has an impact that you just don't get by simply reading material or even watching a recording of a live event on YouTube or something. Actually being in the presence of someone like Jem Roberts, who is, you know, hacked off with the way things are. You hear that and you are in the presence of that kind of anger and that rage, and it really does have an impact.
Should we have a listen to
some
of Jem's
performance? Well, I think we should. Let's hear a bit of Jem.
So I'm going to do a song for you now, and let me just check. This is Russian money we're spending right now, isn't it?
Yep.
Good. Vladimir Putin loves cock. Vladimir Putin loves cock. He's rippling and hot and he wants gays to rot. Oh, Vladimir Putin loves cock. He has a penchant for penis. Old Dobby the house elf, he knows we're all aware that that's perfectly...
That was extraordinary, and it just... I love it. I love hearing, you know, that kind of straightforward, to the point, kind of cutting stuff. But, you know, we live in a very different society than we did in the 1960s. I just wonder, you know, how can we anymore push the line that much? Can we really get away with satire that is, you know, so directly, you know, potentially slandering somebody.
I think satire really has a duty to push the boundaries. We have to go as far as we can in many ways, in order to make our point, in order to sort of see how far we can go. Sometimes it's artists and performers who have to take the lead in defining, you know, what is acceptable. And certainly at Off the Perch, we are very conscious of trying to punch up rather than down. We don't like to go in for personal attacks. We don't like to demonise people who frankly don't deserve it. But where people are in public life and they are frankly making an absolute hash of it, we're happy to stick the spotlight on them and expose them to a certain amount of ridicule.
And it is a bit, you know, you're by saying Vladimir Putin loves cock, I'm gonna see how many times I can say that in this podcast.
Good idea.
It's quite satisfying. You know, you are getting to the heart of one of the major political issues in Russia, and you're effectively kind of jabbing at the kind of soft flanks, aren't you, of Putin, and exposing, you know, by making that joke, you're also saying, well, you know, Vladimir Putin would never say that he likes cock because he's so homophobic. And, you know, it is a way of drawing out, you know, those kind of vulnerable areas, those areas that are just, you know, politically, it's just inexplicable that a country in this day and age would treat its LGBT citizens that badly.
No, it's the classic tool of satire is to take a situation and turn it on its head in order to point out just how ridiculous it is. And I often think of satire in the nicest possible way as being a bit like a distraction burglar, where somebody comes to your front door, tries to talk to you about tree surgery or something, while their mate nips around the back and makes off with your video recorder. And what satire can do is, up at the front door, it's all laughs and jokes. Meanwhile, the serious point of the article, nipping around the back, getting in the side of your brain and sticking there, hopefully.
And, yeah, Keith Allen has, you know, it's a very controversial statement, but he said he thinks that the audiences are stupid, the comedians are stupid. You know, is this satirical stuff just too subtle? Is it actually accessible to most people, do you think?
I think that's what we'll find out. We'll see how, you know, how it's received. But clearly, you know, he wants to give his audience respect in the sense that he wants to make it quite intelligent, and not perhaps, he doesn't want to spoon feed people. You know, he wants to get the audience thinking, and that's really important. And you know, I think certainly all good satire, it you need to think to understand it, and then it leaves you thinking afterwards, and that can be a great way of getting those really important points across.
So Bristol is the first stop of the Routemaster bus that is currently home to the Establishment Club. There's more to come. What are your hopes for what they might achieve?
Well, I think what would be absolutely fantastic would be if they did uncover some people with some really, really interesting things to say. And certainly that's what they're hoping to do. And who knows, that interesting person with interesting things to say, that could be you. So why don't you check out the dates? They're all on the website. You can go along, you can do your thing, and if it floats their boat, you'll be on the bill.
Fantastic. So, you know, we can look forward to some amazing new talent and hopefully a revival of this kind of in-person performance. It's very, very exciting. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing what comes of this, you know, after the bus tour is over.
Yep, keep watching this space.
Thanks, John, and many thanks to Keith Allen for making the time to talk to us this week. Next week, we'll be back to our usual coverage of the news that's been hitting the headlines. And please do get in touch. We love to hear from you. You can find us at Canary Pod on Twitter or email podcast@thecanary.co. If you want to find out more about the Establishment Club, have a look at the links on the Canary website with this podcast. And in the meantime, don't get angry, get involved.
I've fucked you up now, haven't I?